Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
I missed a week already with this dude.
Yeah, but
you guys
didn't. There was a lot to talk about.
Well, don't count on a whole lot more this week, boys and girls. Time to talk football with our football expert, Santana Dodson. Good morning, Santana.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Preseason is grinding away.
It is grinding. That's a good way of putting it. Just grinding away.
Where are we in everyone's mental state about now? Training camp has been going for 3 weeks.
The training camp's been going for about 3 weeks. They're about to break camp. They should be breaking. So they'll get out of those dorm rooms over at St. Norbert's, and they'll go to the confines of their own little cubby holes. Rookies are probably going into the hotels until they officially make the team.
Now, is breaking camp a relief if you're a veteran? Because if you're a veteran now, I have to do everything. I have to do my cooking, my cleaning, all that stuff. And if I'm at St. Norbert's, everything is like, well, I can walk over here, get something to eat. Everything's pretty laid out for me as far as my day goes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, they'll still keep some of the, you know, they'll still have food around and things like that that they normally don't have during the season, but it'll move to the facility and not St. Norbert's. But you're exactly right. There's just a few subtle changes, but you're still in training camp mode. But it's a little bit of a transition.
How do the guys?
This will be the first week. This upcoming week will be the first cut. So you'll get some guys that are a little bit nervous, and you don't know what next week this time is going to bring.
How do you find a place to live finally when you're in training camp, you're trying to make the team, you don't know first if you're going to be on the team or maybe even shuffled to another town by the time things break up? When do you sort of decide to look for a place to live permanently?
Yeah, the permanent will happen really after the final cut. So if you're somebody that's quote-unquote the bubble guy, you may just find yourself situated in a hotel or something a little bit more comfortable than a dorm room, but not a full investment like going by a six-room mansion or, you know, signing a lease that's for a year, year and a half. You may just, you know, you got to wait a few more weeks before you really put yourself on the line like that.
Is everybody on their own on that one, or is the team help in any way?
They have a block of rooms over at the
liaison. Yeah, there's a liaison that really helps out with those things, and they do a good job as far as Green Bay. So whether you're a single guy or you have a girlfriend, fiance, or a wife, a lot of times those are the duties you may put on that person, your significant other, to find your place to lay your head for a few weeks till the final cut.
Anyone live really close to the stadium ever? Like Ray did, didn't he? Didn't he live really close?
Yeah, well, you know, it's Green Bay, so.
Yeah, you're not that far. You're on the outskirts of Green Bay.
No matter what, I think I was all of 8 minutes with traffic, and I lived in the suburbs. So, yeah.
Let's talk a little Packer defense. I was really excited when the Packers drafted Josh Jackson out of Iowa, because that guy, last year when I watched him play for Iowa, he was all over the ball as a corner. And last Thursday night, is that when the game was? Last Thursday. Again, there he was. He got one and took it back for a touchdown. I mean, this guy, he's exactly what I thought he'd be so far. Now, this is preseason and it's second team and blah, blah, blah. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're definitely what you saw is what you're going to get from Josh and the defense. They did a great job last week in turning the ball over and making big plays. So it seemed like they're trying to focus on making big plays. Tackling is still bad. We talked about that a little bit last week, and we hope it gets a little bit better going into the season. But definitely, I don't know how many turnovers or takeaways for touchdowns they had. It had to be three or four.
Well, there were two. There's the first one right off the bat just back from where, Jacksonville?
Yeah. Okay. And you can tell that they're practicing it when you watch the games. You know, that ball just isn't popping into their arms or the turnover, but you can see that they're ball hawking and attacking the ball when it's in the air and up for grabs. So I do like the way the defense, especially the secondary, has played so far.
How'd you like Kumerow so far, wide receiver out of Whitewater, who's been bouncing around for, what, 3 years, camp to camp?
Yeah. I mean,
with the 87-yard touchdown?
I mean, it's a great opportunity, you know, especially on a team like Green Bay. Like you say, he bounced around 2 or 3 years, but if you can fit, or make the final roster with Green Bay, it's outstanding. But even if you don't make it, if you have quality quarterbacks throwing you the ball, there's a significant chance if you don't make this team that you'll stick with another team. So he's doing a great job at seizing that opportunity. And that's kind of what Aaron was talking about a couple of weeks ago. Everybody was talking about his quote in the paper or with the media about guys not taking it seriously. You know, that's one guy that's taking it real seriously, and he understands he has an opportunity to stick, if not with Green Bay, find him a place in the NFL, because he's definitely doing a great job.
How'd number 12 look to you? What's your critical opinion of his performance? What do I think of Aaron Rodgers' performance?
I don't know. He might be one of those bubble guys.
Right.
I was talking about earlier. Might not make it.
I think
he looks good. He looks like he's in mid-season form and he's ready to go.
I was awfully nervous watching him, I'll be honest. I mean, when they got full-out rushes coming after him, you know, Tomlin wasn't calling off the dogs just because it's a preseason game. He went after him from the get-go, and he was dancing around and doing what Aaron Rodgers does. But, man, that's enough, right? We'll see in September.
Yeah, we don't need any more of that. That's plenty.
Yeah, you may see him a series or two. I appreciated the play calling offensively, because I knew that I could tell by the plays that were being called that they were making a concerted effort to get rid of the ball, you know, which a lot of times with the quarterback and Aaron's position that he's in, holding that ball ends up taking a lot of unnecessary hits. So the fact that they're trying or attempting to get rid of the ball offensively, I think, is a good thing. Now, if it happens, you know, people are creatures of nature. So if it happens during the regular season, we'll see. Because we make so many big plays from holding that ball offensively, an extra count or two counts. But it's a good thing to work your progression and get rid of that ball. You know, it's almost like playing hot potato. You don't want to hold that ball too long.
I don't want him holding it too long.
Hot potato drill.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
How's our first round pick
doing?
You
guys played hot potato, right? Am
sure.
I dating myself?
No, that's a thing.
Oh, you're dating yourself, but you know we know what you mean. So
right, because you know,
there's not an app for it. My kids don't have an app for hot potato, so they probably would scratch their heads if I said it around them.
How's our first round pick doing? All I've seen on him was he was sent out to a dairy farm to milk a cow on ESPN.
Well, there you have it.
I mean, you know, I expect a few picks from him and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that happens, you know, when you're a rookie. You got to be able to jazz those guys up a little bit.
Oh, they sent him out to
milking is good for the soul.
He's milking a Guernsey. That's the tiniest of cows.
Well, that's the starter set.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you want to start about on a big old
Holstein, yeah. Let's get, you know, this is the NFL. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. If he's got to do it, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, no, it's pooping. Look at this.
Well, that's what cows do when you
right
milk
next
them.
To the bucket of milk, though.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes.
That's something.
Don't worry, it's pasteurized.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
have you guys ever milked a cow?
He's over there. He's
I grew
he's
up
worked work, on a farm.
I milked him twice a day, Santana, barnful as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take you down there if you want to go to the farm. They'd love to see you.
No, I had a friend that lived next to a dairy farm, and I only visited him once.
Yeah. What happened?
The smell was atrocious. I was like, oh, my God. My nose would never be the same.
Smell of the country, man.
Yeah, that's America right there.
Yeah, he's like, breathe it in. That's money. That's money you're smelling.
Well, that's not the stuff they get the money for.
And then he proceeds to tell me, like, he had to get up. Did you have to get up real early, like 4:30 growing up?
Yeah, that's when cows like to be milked around 5 a.m. and then again around 5 p.m. in the
Santana,
afternoon.
he still is, and I get up at 4:30. You know,
I get up earlier now than I did to milk cows.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, radio.
What am I thinking?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Hey, I
kinda
watched
like Green Bay being a small town and not being far away from the stadium.
While I was gone recovering for the last couple of weeks, Santana, I watched a lot of TV, and I came across a particularly impressive piece with you on it.
Are you serious?
It was your Dennis Krause roundtable. It was you, Leroy, Dorsey, and who was the fourth Packer in on that? I can't remember.
Oh, man, that was a couple of years ago. We were reminiscing about the Super Bowl.
Yes,
is that what it was?
Yes, but it was awesome. It was stories I'd never heard. We've known each other for 20 years now.
Oh, you feel like I'm holding back, right?
A little bit.
I feel like we haven't maximized you. I blamed us, not you.
I'd agree. It's never the interviewee, it's the interviewer.
We should just have like a key word that we can bring up, and we say it, and then you tell us a story.
You tell
about
us a story
that's happened
that you've never told us before.
Right.
That's like a gem.
Like
now,
I feel like there's all kinds of things. Like if I said helmet,
yeah. And we should have a little theme. There should
be a helmet story that you have for us.
Well, there should be a little theme music that goes along with it that says, "And now a Santana Dodson gem." And I think my favorite story that you talked about was when you were talking about everybody thinks that the final cut day is it for the season. Now the team is set. And you guys were all saying on your off days, if you went into Lyft, the practice facility was full of dudes that they had flown in that they were trying out all the time.
You're exactly right.
Every week.
You're exactly right. Yeah, there's no such thing as a final cut. And you're right. If you came in on your off day, you might have four or five defensive linemen
right.
that they've flown in to work out. You know, it makes you lift a little bit extra.
Right. You said, you go, what's this? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Or Dorsey was going, if there's running backs back there, you go, well, I just ran for 120 yards. What are we looking at these guys for? We're okay at running back. But they were always looking. You said every week there were guys being flown in.
Do all teams do that?
Every week. And we talked to Ron Wolf a little bit about that at one of the Hall of Fame banquets or something like that. And he's like, you know, we were kind of razzing him about it. Every week, you know, he would make a move as far as cutting and bringing somebody else in, special teams moves, adjustments that Super Bowl year. And he said, you guys need to understand, I'd already had a mild heart attack. So the sense of urgency was very extreme for me to make sure that everybody stayed on pace and knew how serious it was.
Well, it worked.
So other teams.
It definitely worked.
Other teams don't do that, or I don't know. How would you know?
Yeah, I don't know if they still do. That's a good question.
Yeah, but you said if you came in on your off day and you looked over at the practice facility, it wasn't lights out over there. There were bodies over there being worked out.
Yeah, there were always people working out, exactly. Yeah, it's got to happen. People don't realize it. And even the guys that are in the midst of it, a lot of times they think once they make that final cut they talk about on, you know, on ESPN or whatever news channel, that final roster is made. But they are always adjusting that roster. And, you know, a lot of times you can think about for injury. So if you got an injury like Aaron got hurt last year, they might have carried three quarterbacks, and then when he goes down, all of a sudden they sign another two guys, you know. So things like that always happen in the NFL.
All right.
For whatever reason.
Well, we'll talk about week three next week. We get the Raiders, so we're going to see Jordy this week, possibly.
That'll be fun and interesting.
Oh boy.
All right. Will there be a hug? will there be a meeting of the eyes?
Hey, buddy. You know, one of those across the field.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that next week. Santana, thank you for the time again this morning.
All right, fellas. Y'all have a great week.
All right. Talk to you later.
Peace.